me. Ooh-wee, it's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know,
encourage me the whole way along. You know, you want to say, ow. What's poppin', y'all? It's, the Nestorius Public Radio Show. I'm your host, you know, the master blaster, the man with the flavor in your ear. You know, no drinking beer allowed, but you know, you motivate the crowd and you just like jump and shout and jumping up and down and, you know, do whatever the hell you got to do as long as you have your clothes on. You know what I mean? Anyway, today I had to do a little flaggy, wacky intro there because, you know, we're live. We're doing the NPR shit right here, and that's how we do. So before I move forward, you're listening to the Nestorius Public Radio on the WePlayRadio.com podcast vodcast broadcasting network. That's right, motherfuckers. We Play Radio. Okay, so if you're listening to my show for the first time, welcome. This is a really great one. If you're coming back, you know what's up. Make sure you tell your friends to subscribe to our show on iTunes and make sure you like our Facebook page, Nestorius Public Radio. All right, so with that, we're going to introduce our wonderful guests. The man and of the hour, the reason I'm here tonight is to celebrate and get to know the life of Mr. Murray Garrett, photographer extraordinaire. How you doing, Murray?
I'm great.
You damn sure are. Mm-hmm. You damn sure are great.
Thank you.
Yeah. And to Murray's left is a really, really good friend of mine who I can give a whole slew of credits to, but one of which is he's a producer. He was an actor on the soap Loving when I first met him. God knows, I'm not even going to say how long that was. But my really good friend, this guy's like my brother, Mr. Rick Tejas.
How you doing, brother?
What's up, man? Y'all, what's up? What's
good
going
to be
on?
Here. Good to be here.
What's up?
That's it.
You know it. Yeah. So I just want to tap into that Loving. Oh, so when I first met Rick, right, I didn't know Rick was an actor. I didn't know who the fucking actor is and all this bullshit. Like, who cares? I'm a street kid. You know what I mean? Actors, nobody got paid for that shit that I knew. So we went to, it was Thanksgiving. We went to Washington.
In 1990. Yes. Yeah. 1990 or 91?
91. Washington, D.C., Thanksgiving 91, exactly, to be exact. We went to D.C. for the weekend, whatever. You know, we were all single, didn't know what the hell was going on. And we go to a museum.
Big old museum.
We go to a museum, and this black security guard, she goes, what the fuck was your name? Rico?
Rio.
Rio. She goes, like.
She starts getting all excited.
First of all, you ever see a fucking, not just a black security guard person, any fucking security guard person in a museum? They're lifeless. That's why they're in
they're
a fucking
quiet.
Art museum. Like, they're not quiet. They're lifeless. You have to put a fucking firecracker up their ass to, like, have them blink or something. This woman, she sparks up. She blows up. She goes, Rio! And I'm like, and he's all blushing and shit. And then I realize, you know, he's real.
He's actually an actor on TV.
On a TV show that people watch and people know. And I'm like, what the fuck is this Rio bullshit, man? Anyway, that's Rio. Mr. Rick Tejas, Rio.
In another life.
And then Rick went on to develop shows and produce reality shows. And I think you started or you co-created Surreal Life, right?
Surreal Life.
Surreal
yeah.
Life. That's
yeah.
your shit.
Yeah. Well, the woman who was our executive producer on Loving, she ended up creating a show called The Real World on
MTV. The Real World, yeah.
And so I went to work for her.
Oh.
Yeah. So I started going to work for her.
And, okay.
You know, so nobody was really kind of paying attention to what we were doing on MTV for all of the
night. Right, because it was just whatever.
Yeah, nobody.
It's like Flavor Flav, mm-hmm. Motherfucker needs dental insurance. Fuck him, ain't nothing going to happen there. So what's the fucking point? Yeah, except, you know, yeah. Fast forward years later, you know.
We started selling shows and that's really how I met Murray.
Was
through that.
Yeah. You know? What's interesting, and this is going to be the segue to Murray. What's interesting is that back in the day when Murray was, by the way, Murray has taken some of the most fucking
iconic
photographs of Hollywood celebrities, presidents, on and on and on. We're going to get into all that stuff. But back then, you know, people accomplished something before they were a celebrity. Now you fucking eat two kumquats and somebody takes a photo of you and now you got your own fucking TV show. It's like, what the fuck have you what have you contributed to modern day fucking civilization? It's just ridiculous. And the answer is that there's so many outlets, so many media outlets that they can't stuff enough shit in any of them. So anybody who, you know, who has something to say, they'll give them an opportunity. But back then, when you were doing your thing, when you were clicking that shutter, people actually did things, you know? They I mean, you photographed. First of all, you have one of the most amazing photos that I need to buy a copy of with Sammy Davis Jr., Frank Sinatra, and Dean Martin. Three of them. Yeah. That is a fucking unbelievable photo. And that's just one. That's just one
of thousands
of really unbelievable photos. But that one right there is like, fuck. I wish I was there. And you were there. So what's up? How was that? How did it happen?
You know, I got so nervous about owning all those photographs and having them at my house that I called the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences and said, hey,
help.
I'm sitting on a gold mine. Help me out.
No. I mean, I didn't say that. I didn't use any four-letter words.
Right.
I just said...
Well, gold mine is an eight-letter word.
Gold.
Gold, yeah.
I just said, hey, I've got this stuff. And
you might be interested.
The lady who ran the library said, Murray, we have 12 of your books.
They knew who you were.
I said, oh, my God. And we came in, and they looked at it. They had their appraiser look at it. Came up with a startling figure for me.
Right.
And
they gave you a golf course
in
Beverly Hills, right?
I said, no, I don't want it. I'd rather leave it for my children. I said, I've made enough money in my career. My wife and I are living well. But thank you. And so they haven't paid for it yet. But all of my stuff
is there.
Lives at 55 degrees day and night.
So what were you afraid of when you say I have all these photographs in my house and I was afraid? Afraid of what? Blacks
burning
and Latinos
down.
Coming
no.
down and breaking well, into first, your house and stealing photos? Because let me tell you something. Blacks and Latinos do not steal artwork.
They only steal
TV sets.
Let me tell you something. You guys know how to swear. Shit happens.
Yes. Of course. Yeah. No, with photos, yeah, for sure. And film. And
I have all this stuff in my guest
house. The originals.
The negatives.
All the
original. Sure.
Everything.
That's what's worth the money, the negatives.
Yeah. I mean, when I closed my firm, I had all this stuff. And I would have nightmares. And I'd get up at night to go to the John. And I'd say, oh, my God, did I see a shadow of a guy walking?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That didn't happen.
Right.
But of all things, a pipe broke.
Yeah, sure. There you go.
And water. We had a flood.
Right.
Well, water will destroy all your prints.
Well, we got all the stuff out in time.
Wow.
But I said, that's it.
You were born in New York, right?
I was born in New York.
Of course.
Yeah. 90 years ago.
Fucking water comes into your house. You're like, get the fuck out of the way. You can empty out an apartment. New Yorkers know how to take care of shit. In L.A., a regular L.A. person, forget it. You'd be stuck in traffic for like fucking 3 months before you fixed a pipeline or something.
We
right?
lived on the third floor.
Oh, so you were okay.
And we were not near the beach.
This is here in L.A.
In New York.
Oh, New York. Yeah.
It wasn't in the basement, so it wasn't going to flood.
Brooklyn. Brooklyn. Brooklyn.
And I was an air warden.
There you go.
During the war.
There you go. A warden. What is that?
An air warden.
Oh.
What is air warden?
Air warden is to you warn people.
There was a war going on.
Yeah, there's a war.
Oh.
If you see looming aircraft,
so you do the warning.
Yeah, sure. Close the shades. Everybody in. No lights.
Great.
Yeah. 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 Come on, Rick. You don't fucking do research on your reality shows? So, okay. So 90 years, Murray. Did you celebrate your 90 already?
As you guys would put it articulately,
yeah.
90 fucking years.
90 fucking years, Murray. That's a big deal, Murray. Murray, that's a big deal.
You're going to be 90 when?
Well, I'll be 90 in April, actually.
April.
Fuck, April what?
27th.
Do you sniff cocaine? Because I'm going to go to South America. I'll bring you a nice package.
I never snorted, but I've been around people that have.
You know what gets me? You know what gets me about healthcare and stuff like that? That they care about older people, like getting your vitamins and your fucking like 8 different vitamins and minerals, greens and proteins and milk when you're about ready to fucking die. 2 years before you die, when you're in a nursing home, there's all these signs of the food groups and all this stuff. I always thought they should have like free hookers on Thursday, fucking crack on Tuesday, like shit that you would never do right before you go out with a bang. You know what I mean? No?
You know, we live in different worlds.
Of course,
When you're dealing with Marlon Brando.
That's right.
You don't want to get crazy.
No, right.
Because he's going to out-crazy you like you can't believe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, this guy... Let me tell you a Brando experience.
Tell me, please.
Absolutely incredible.
Tell me.
This is unbelievable.
Yeah, tell me this.
Time calls me and says, listen, you got to be at Marlon Brando's house in 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. This is out here.
It's out here.
Yeah.
And I own a business and mm-hmm. I'm, you know. And I said, okay, give me his address. They give me his address. He's somewhere in Benedict Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, okay. And I tell my assistant, who happened to be a woman,
mm-hmm.
and a dear friend,
mm-hmm.
I said, Peggy, pack all the stuff. We got to run and go to Marlon Brando's house. Well, she had an orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
She started screaming, oh, my God, I'm going to see Marlon Brando.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Peggy, come on, get yourself together.
Mm-hmm.
We got ourselves together. We got in the car, and we went up, and we found the house. There was a little bridge we had to cross over a dry stream, parked in front of his garage, went up to his door, and he answered the door.
In his underwear.
Naked.
Oh.
Stark naked.
He's Marlon fucking Brando.
And I didn't say, right.
Right.
And I didn't say anything to him.
Of course not. You acted like it was okay.
Give me a break.
Right?
I turned to Peggy and said, you wanted to see Marlon Brando?
There you go.
There he is.
On that, he slammed the door.
Really?
Slammed the door. Came back with a little button-down shirt and a pair of jeans you could tell he'd never put underwear on.
Right.
He said, okay, come on in. So we get in, and we're not in 2 minutes, and here's this lady coming up the staircase, putting herself together.
Mm-hmm.
Ah,
they were having a nooner.
Yeah. Right, why not? He's Marlon Brando.
And I said, oh my God, I knew her husband.
Oh no.
Extremely well. Almost as well as I know Rick Dias.
Oh no.
And
can you imagine?
He was producing major projects.
Her husband.
Her husband.
Yeah.
Holy
and,
shit.
You know, he knew me and I knew him. Yeah. And she looked at me and she recognized me
immediately. Right. Wow.
And I got myself together and she proceeded to go upstairs and Brando standing over me, looking down because I'm on the floor loading my cameras.
Sure.
With film in those days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, remember that film?
And Brando says, you're very nervous.
I wonder why.
I just saw your dick at the front door.
I just saw my friend's wife.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I said, Mr. Brando, I'm not nervous at all. You're just different.
Oh, shit. Big up for difference.
And he said, hey, look, let's not get into any argument. What do you want? And I told him there was a wonderful cat sitting on the couch behind his portable typewriter. And I said, do you think you could sit over there and type some stuff and put the cat on your shoulder? And this is all in a dead serious conversation. And he looks at me and says, look, it's the cat's house. The cat lives here. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if she'll do it or not do it, but we'll try it. I said, okay. Well, I got those marvelous pictures of Brando and the white cat.
The The picture that you're talking about is iconic. right on there. There's the picture.
There it is.
There's your picture,
that's
Murray.
That's one of them.
That's it.
Yeah. I got a whole series.
Oh, yeah.
I had one where the cat was sitting on his shoulder.
You come to me. You open the door. My balls are hanging. And you ask me if I could put the cat on my shoulder. Are you fucking kidding me? That's my worst Brando.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But you know.
We got that done.
Mm-hmm.
And Time Magazine and I had an interesting relationship. They said, look, I know you really love to make deadlines. I said, absolutely. They said, you've got to take this stuff on Brando,
mm-hmm.
bring it to American Airlines, no, TWA.
And Trans World Airlines. For
yeah, there was no internet to be able to just email and he said, the picture.
You go, you give it to the pilot.
Right.
And they gave me the flight number.
Right.
And I got there, and I was early, and here comes the guys to go, you know.
Right.
And I said, excuse me, I'm Murray Garrett, I'm with Time Magazine. The guy said, oh, yeah. I said, I've got this package for you. I said, okay.
Yeah.
So in the interim, between my finding that out, I made a set of contact prints and obviously developed all the film.
Okay.
Now, this film arrives in New York. The next morning, at about 7 o'clock, I get a call. This woman, editor, is hysterical. She said, you know, Murray, you've been with us long enough to know that you can't do that. I said, do what? She said, you take this picture of Brando sitting at the Victrola with his dick hanging out.
So is that public, or you have the negative for that?
I said, I beg your pardon. She said, what? I said, get a magnifying glass. She said, why? I said, it's his index finger.
Ah!
He had his hand on his dick.
His hand was down like that.
Get the loop, okay? Get the fucking loop. Look at the contact sheet. That's his finger, not his cock, basically.
Jesus.
So now, months go by,
mm-hmm.
and I'm at the Academy Awards. 3 goddamn cameras,
mm-hmm.
leather bags, pockets filled with film. And
mm-hmm.
somebody comes up behind my back and gives me a shot in the back, and I figure it's a cop.
Because
I'm inside the theater, and I turn around, and it's Marlon Brando in a tuxedo. I said, what the hell was that all about?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I'm sorry, but you know, and I swear to God, this is true. He said, all of my whole life, I was a Bing Crosby fan. And he's sitting there. Do you know him? I said, I know him very well. I worked for Bob Hope for 28 years.
Right.
So I go up to Mr. Crosby and I tap him on the shoulder. He turned to me with great disdain because he didn't like anybody touching him or interrupting him.
Yeah.
Right. And he turned and he saw it was me and he said, what do you want? I said, Bing, excuse me.
But Brando.
Directly behind you, I sat him right behind you on the aisle, is Marlon Brando. And he, his whole life, he said all he ever wanted to do was meet Bing Crosby. Well, I've got this marvelous picture with the two of them.
Oh, really?
You know,
ugh.
Shaking hands.
Ugh.
So it's odd, you know, as I told you earlier, before we were on the air.
Right.
I've had an incredible life.
You have. You're an amazing, I mean, listen, in 55 minutes, we could not go over everything, all of your photos. I mean, Jeremy, our master of We Play Radio and engineer, as we've been talking, he's been flashing some of your photos, the photo with Marlon Brando and the cat.
Marilyn Monroe.
There's a photo of Ricky Ricardo and Lucille Ball.
Mm.
And I'm not sure if you took this photo or not, because I just looked at that photo that was up there, and I looked.
Did you take that one?
No, he took that photo that was up there. No, he did take that photo. No, no, he took it. That's mm-hmm. who is
that's
that?
Rock Hudson.
Rock Hudson and
that's
up on top.
Yeah. Is, that's
Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby right
in
there
in the clown outfit. Oops.
Yep.
And then Marilyn.
That's
of course.
Marilyn. That was the cover of my first book.
Right. Right. Who was that other woman there? That was that
Ava Gardner?
Was that Ava Gardner? Okay. So
her right there?
No, the blonde one.
That's Ava.
It almost looked like Mariska Hargitay's mom, the one that was the cop.
Ava and Frank Sinatra.
Oh, okay, Ava and Frank. Okay, got it.
And then the other one, the blonde, there's
Ricky. So I have a photo. I don't think it's the same photo. I saw a photo.
Who's that, Murray? Do you know?
Yeah.
That's
her.
Gina Lola Bridgerton.
Oh, Gina.
That's Jane Mansfield.
Jane Mansfield.
So guy's quick in there.
Yeah. So that is Mariska Hargitay's mother.
Yes,
so
Jane, it is. Absolutely.
Right, so Jane Mansfield was decapitated, and that's her husband, Hardigay. He was a bodybuilder.
Yeah, absolutely.
Big bodybuilder.
Oh,
yes.
No, I knew them very well.
Right, right.
So, I had a brand new Nissan,
mm-hmm.
okay? And she came to the studio. We had some job that we had to do on her. Mm-hmm. With her two kids mm-hmm. and a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Mariska.
And the kids were going crazy.
That was probably Mariska.
The dog was barking. And I said to the darkroom guy, hey, Chuck, do me a favor. You got anything in the refrigerator the dog would like? And he said, peanut butter.
Peanut butter. Dogs love peanut butter.
But it was cold.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you should have seen this little dog trying to deal with peanut butter. We thought he was going to die.
Yeah.
We were going over getting his jaws up and down.
Yeah. He got stuck. Yeah.
So we now get him in the car,
mm-hmm.
and the kids are hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And she takes a box. She took a box of cookies out of the back of, out of our studio uh-huh. and put them in the back of her car with the kids.
Mm.
Brand new car.
York brand new Nissan. Fucked it up. Fucked up your car.
I mean, the whole car, the windows, the seats.
So hold on.
And
do you
Mariska
need to
was back there.
Yeah. So Mariska. Do you need to get paid? Do you need to, be...
Should we call Mariska and
because,
get a bill?
Because I know Mariska. my wife just finished directing Mariska on Law & Order. For those of you that don't know, she's on Law & Order.
That's
Special Victims.
Interesting.
Unit. Yeah.
So she just came. Bill.
If you need to give her a bill for her fucking up your windows and your seats.
She was four.
I can make it happen.
I would never do that, but... I would never do that.
But I can make it happen. So, there's a woman there, the one that Rick, you asked who it was. I think that's Robert Wagner's wife. Who was Robert Wagner?
Natalie Wood.
Natalie Wood.
Wasn't that Natalie Wood in the previous shot?
Let me see.
It looked like her. Let me see if it's coming up. No, that's Marilyn.
But that was not his...
Right there.
That was not her husband.
Isn't that Natalie Wood? Maybe?
I don't think so.
I can't tell from here.
Yeah. Okay. She looks like her. She looks like Natalie.
No, it looks like Rock Hudson and...
Yeah, but she could have been that's before she married. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Yeah. So why don't we go back? Why don't we go back a little bit? So,
talk about his first job.
That's what I was going to get to. So I'm talking to you, you know, Murray Garrett, who had, 50-year career? More of photographing?
Well, no, not of photographing, but probably close to that.
Close to 50.
45,
yeah.
50.
Close to 50.
I started in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I worked for a company called Graphic House.
Graphic House,
and,
yeah.
And the woman...
This is in 1931,
That founded...
Right? 1931?
Oh, no one knows what that
1931, I was 5 years old. Give me a break.
Hold on a second. I need to... Hold on a second. I gotta get.
Oh, that's right. You're 90.
Yeah.
I thought you were 100.
I wanted to put my air horn. 1931. That's a good year. That was a year for Cracker Jacks and Bazooka Bubblegum.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. 1948, let's call it. So your first job, your first year at Graphic House.
My junior sister.
Mm-hmm.
Had a boyfriend who came to my house one night. He said, what are you doing? I said, homework. And he said...
He's like 15 years old.
Yeah.
what come you doing homework? I said, well, the photography school I go to teaches general courses. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I want to go to college.
Right.
I want to be a lawyer.
Right.
And he said, oh. He said, but you're also learning photography. And I said, yeah. He said, how would you like a job in photography? Because I was packing hats at Greenberg Brothers.
Oh, Greenberg.
On 36th and 6th.
Yep. They're still there, by the way.
Are they really?
Yeah, Greenberg is still there.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's right. Fashion district. Uh-huh. Hold on a second. I'm almost 100% certain. Let me look it up because I could be talking shit. Go ahead, Murray.
Well, you can talk shit.
No. I may be talking out of my ass saying that Greenberg is still there. They may not be.
But he was packing hats.
Packing hats at Greenberg. Yep.
And he gets offered this job.
Packing hats and then walking down 6th Avenue.
Like a
little Dutch boy.
Yep.
With the hat boxes hanging from my hands to make deliveries.
Oh, man.
And this guy, who was my sister's boyfriend, was furious. He said, you're learning photography. Look, I got a friend that's part owner of a photographic agency. Would you like working for them? I said, oh, God, I would love it. And he said, I'll call you back when I get home. And he sits around, talks to my sister for a while, leaves, goes home, calls me and says, you have an appointment tomorrow night at 6:30 with Roy Lester, who's the head of Graphic House.
Mm.
I said, oh, okay. So I keep the appointment the next day. And this guy said, I explained everything to you to get to the point. And I said, yeah. He said, how much a week do you want? I said, well, how much are you willing to pay me?
Good.
And he said, we're willing to pay you $6 a week.
Wow. Wow, that's pretty good. That's what I got paid in 1982.
Yeah.
$6 a week.
I said, look, I'm packing hats at Greenberg Brothers. I don't know why I asked from first base about woman's millinery.
Mm-hmm.
And all I knew is know how to pack the hats and bring them to millinery stores. I said, I am learning a lot about photography in this school. And you order me $6 and ask me to work an extra day to clean out the dark rooms and all the tanks. That doesn't sound fair.
Right.
I said, why are you doing that? And this guy was a Russian, and he looked up at me. I've never seen such ferociousness in a man's face. Put his nose on mine, and he said in the most horrible scream, because you learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'll take the job.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I took the job.
That's it. You want to learn about photography, you start cleaning up and mixing chemicals.
That's
to
what
develop.
He was doing.
Of
That's
course.
Exactly what he was
of course.
I became the luckiest kid in the world.
Of course.
Because in a very short time, I became the assistant of a woman called Eileen Darby. You want to look at her on Google.
Yes.
Eileen Darby.
Eileen Darby.
His mentor. That was the woman that really...
Rodgers and Hammerstein wouldn't do a show without her.
Without her. She was the photographer for all, like, the big Broadway shows.
Got it.
And I was her assistant. And I learned all about the theater.
She's still alive. She's 87.
No, she's dead now.
Oh, she died?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And she would have been... She would have been older than 87. No.
She's 87 in 2004. I'm looking at an old article. Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Eileen.
Wow.
Would absolutely adored me, and I adored her.
Uh-huh.
I named my third child, who was a girl, obviously, mm-hmm. after Eileen.
Mm-hmm.
And Eileen flew out to see her.
When she was playing
with my daughter on the lawn.
Right.
And, you know, the relationship was just astounding.
Mm-hmm. Okay, she died in 04.
She taught him about, you know, owning your photos and
yeah, yeah,
the
yeah,
business
yeah.
of photography.
And she taught me manners. She said, look, you're not in, you know, you're not in Hollywood. You're not on the streets of New York. You're in the theater.
Right, because she's Broadway's Golden Age photographs from 1940 to 1964. She photographed every single Broadway theatrical production from that time.
And he said, right there with her.
You don't call these people by their first name.
Right.
They are Mr.
Right,
and Mrs.
Or Sir Miss, and Madam.
Or Sir or Madam.
Right.
Now, I get to Hollywood. They open a West Coast office. And I have been with them long enough now where I'm like a golden kid. And he calls me in one day and says, we're opening a West Coast office. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I want you to go to Hollywood and live there and work at the office for a whole year. And I want in 6 months to have that place exactly like we operate in New York. That way, when film comes in, we can just take it, put it right into our file. I don't want to have to redo it because it came from Hollywood. I said, okay, I can do that. And 6 months later, I could do it. And about 2 months after that, the schmuck that he hired, who I just never understood, was a guy named Jack Burns, who was from Cleveland. And he was a press photographer with a 4x5 speed graphic. What the hell he was doing at Graphic House? I just couldn't understand it. And so we didn't get along well.
Right.
And I get a call from somebody, a friend of mine, who's working for Time and Life. Marie, let me give you a little hint. Jack Burns is coming to work for us and is going to work in China.
So God answers his prayers.
I said, that's far enough. And
let me buy his ticket.
After that, I called Roy Lester. I said, Roy, I had an amazing call. He said, from whom? And I told him the woman's name at Time and Life. And he said, she's a friend of mine. I said, I know. And she wanted you to know that Life magazine just hired Jack Burns.
Oh, wow.
He said, I'll get another guy. I said, and I quit. He said, what? I said, you heard me. I am not taking my kids back to New York to snow and galoshes and winter coats.
Not after Southern California.
And all that bullshit. He said, but you're going to be my right hand. You'll sit with me in my office. I said, Roy, you got to understand, I have been in Hollywood long enough to where I can tell you, I am not going back. And if I have to work for myself, I'll work for myself.
Right.
And so that lasted 2 years.
At that Graphic House.
At Graphic House. And then, you know, Roy Lester and I had a talk one night. He came out and took us to dinner at the Bel Air. That's where he stayed.
Right. Nice.
And Phyllis, my wife, and I sat there and listened to this offer he was making. And when we finished, we said we had to get home because we had a babysitter.
Right.
We left him. We got in the car and she said, okay, so when do we leave? I said, we don't leave. And she said, are you kidding? I said, I am not going back to New York, period. I'm going to stay here and become somebody. Because I was really nobody.
Right.
And she just was overjoyed. I was overjoyed that she was overjoyed.
Right.
And that's what happened.
So,
and, you know, and I worked for him for for 2 years.
For 2 years. So when you came to Hollywood, what were your assignments like? Were you right off the bat photographing celebrities?
No, when I came to Hollywood, mm-hmm. I came to run his office.
Office, yeah.
And make a blueprint of what we had in New York.
To bring it up to shape to the same
New York. The other guy was the photographer.
Jack,
right. So I was not a photographer then, although I had equipment.
Got it.
And I could do stuff if Jack was busy.
Right.
But other than that, Jack
was the man.
The photographer.
Got it.
And then he chose to accept an offer.
A Time Life.
From Time to go to China.
Right.
And they were still at war.
Right.
And he went and came back. And came to Hollywood and said, are you still mad at me? I said, well, Jack, it was not a question of still being mad at you. I mean, I was mad at you at the moment. I'm on a whole different thing now.
Right.
I have my own business.
Right.
I left Graphic House.
Right.
They're still my agents. We worked out a great deal. He said, well, I opened up a new shop called Burns and Sawyer.
Oh, wow. Mm. That's Burns and Sawyer, huh? The Burns and Sawyer. Holy shit.
I said, you did. His brother-in-law was named Cliff Sawyer.
Wow.
His wife's folks had a few bucks.
Mm-hmm.
And they backed Clifford and Jack.
Wow.
And he asked for my business.
Interesting.
I said, Jack, it has nothing to do whether I like you or not. I have been doing business with a guy named Mel Pierce for years. And he respects me. I respect him. If I need stuff, he gets it for me. I just can't walk out on him for being that kind of a guy.
Right.
He said, so what are you going to do? I said, I'm not going to go to Burns and Sawyer. If anything happens with Mel Pierce, talk to me then.
Right.
And sure as hell, so like maybe a year or two later, Mel Pierce just had enough.
Packed it up and left.
Sold it to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And then I called Jack and Cliff, Cliff was a lovely guy. And I just said, look, you guys want to do business? We're back here. And we were a major customer at that time. Because it was not only me, I had two or three other guys shooting.
Yeah.
And so we were buying a lot of paper, a lot of film, and a lot of chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
When did you start working with Bob Hope?
That's an amazing... I don't understand my life. I really don't.
Yeah, really? I mean, okay, it's like... Okay,
so just so you know, we have about 16 minutes. You got to tell me about Bob Hope. You got to tell me about Marilyn Monroe.
Let me finish with Bob.
Okay.
I thought I was going nuts. Bob Hope came to me, he didn't come to me, but NBC came to me and said, look, we want to do a thing for the New York Daily News. Bob is going to take a trip and stop in Wisconsin in an orphanage and two or three other places and finally end up in New York. And they want that covered. I said, okay, great. So I go there, wait for the airplane to take off. We have to go to the Burbank airport. Because Hope always flew out of Burbank.
Mm-hmm.
And we get there, and the PR guy calls me aside and says, Murray, look, you're a nice kid. You don't shave. You know, you're 22.
22
I know
years
all
old.
About you. Bob said that it's okay for you to come, but he's very active. And if you annoy him or get in the way of what he's doing, he's going to come to me and tell me to tell you to sit down, enjoy the rest of the trip,
and get the fuck
eat
out.
All we'll the food.
And leave
eat
me alone.
All, eat all the food you want. Drink all the drinks you want.
But where we land.
But no more pictures. And I'm literally trembling. I figured, oh my God, what I get into. So we take off and we go to an orphanage. It's an incredible experience. Mm. Kids in orphanages don't know who you are. Mm-hmm. So some kid loved me and was holding on to me and said, take me home, you know.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
And he was walking around doing his shtick. And it was an incredible experience. And it was very cold. So we left.
You weren't in Puerto Rico.
No, not quite.
No.
And we left and we finally ended up in New York. And the people in New York said, how did it go? I said, so far it went good. But I'm worried because I have this thing hanging over me. They said, don't worry about it. Just you don't know how to not get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah, but supposing I do, you know. The next day we're in Pittsburgh. That's the last stop, and then we go home. Now, he wanted to go to Pittsburgh because he Hope, owned a lot of stock in the Cleveland Indians.
Okay. Ah.
Bob Hope owned a lot of stock in the Cleveland Indians. Bing Crosby owned a lot of stock in the Pittsburgh Pirates. So he was going to do a thing there. Which he did. Then he got on the air and did all that stuff. Then he invited them to come to the theater at night that he was playing. Backstage, you can do good pictures.
Mm-hmm.
But when this you're backstage and they go on stage, you're dead because you can't shoot.
Right.
From the side.
No.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I figured, hey, I know theater.
Right.
So
right.
I go down, I go to the thing, I go up to the conductor.
Right.
Go to the musician's pit.
I've been traveling on this junket with Bob Hope. Can I get in the orchestra pit? Mm-hmm. And he said, sure, let me help you over the top. He helps me over the bar, and I'm in the orchestra pit. And I start taking pictures. All of a sudden, Hope comes to the edge of the stage, standing at the microphone, looking down at me, and I could see the muscles rippling in his jawbones. And he looks up and he said, ladies and gentlemen, this guy's been running around in the orchestra pit with the camera. He works for the Daily Worker. That was the communist newspaper.
Right, right. In New York.
Mm-hmm. And he went on and he carried on and the orchestra was screaming and laughing.
Everybody's cracking up laughing.
And I'm getting smaller and smaller. Sure. I don't know where to go, what to do. How do I get out of this?
Right.
So I know it's over.
Right.
He's going to get fired.
It's over. Right?
But also, you don't want to be considered a communist.
Yeah.
So then there's intermission. And his brother used to sit at his dressing room door. Lovely guy named Jack. I go up and I say, hey, Jack, is it okay if I knock on Bob's door? He says, sure. So I go over and I bang 3 times on the door. Hope comes to the door. He's got on a bathrobe and a towel. He says, hi. I said, hi. I said, Bob, I came up to apologize. I know you were awfully angry, but I can't get pictures from the wings. He said, Murray. I said, yes, sir. He said, get your ass down there. We're getting laughs. And I went back into the...
He thought he was going to get fired.
Of course. Of course.
I went back into the pit, finished the thing.
Yeah.
Now I have to get the stuff captioned. I didn't know who the people were.
Right.
Oh, boy.
So I call NBC and I say, look, I need to get this stuff captioned. I go, when I see the head PR guy and he assigns a person. He sit down. Everything is done. This guy says to me, what do you do Tuesday nights? I said, what do you mean, what do I do Tuesday nights? He said, if I don't have an assignment,
what
I
do
go
you
home
do?
To my wife.
Hang out with the
kid.
Wife.
Yeah.
He said, no, Murray. Bob's radio show because there was only radio, there was no TV,
right,
is taped every Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants you to work for Hope Enterprises.
Wow.
And little did I know that would turn out to be a 25-year gig.
Wow.
Before I quit.
Wow.
And he said, you know, look, let me tell you something, kid. You want to quit? You can quit. He says, but, you know, you got a great thing going here.
Right.
Yeah.
I said, I know, and I appreciate it. I said, Bob, the difference is I'm now 43.
Hmm.
Oh, no. What am I talking about? 25 and 28.
Yeah, 53.
I'm now 53. I was 22. 47.
Yeah. So that's how long you work, from 22 to 47.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
For Hope.
And so he said, Murray, you know how much I like you? I said, I do. And I know all the favors you've done for me. If he would get, some company would come to him and say, would you do our Christmas ad?
Mm.
And he would say, yeah, but you got to use my photographer.
Mm.
We'd bring him into our studio.
Mm.
Right. Murray was
my partner who did studio stuff,
mm-hmm,
would do it.
Mm-hmm.
And
Bob Hope was your golden ticket. So that's how you got all the celebrity shots.
I don't know.
The Rat Pot.
When you read the book.
Tell me the name of the book.
You can get it from Amazon.
Yes. Yeah, go to Amazon. Murray Garrett.
You have a bunch of books,
one
right?
Book. There's two books.
There's two books on Amazon.
One book is...
with Marilyn on the cover?
The Marilyn on the cover is
mm-hmm.
called Hollywood Candid.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the second book with Frank Sinatra and Ava Gardner is called Hollywood Moments.
So Candid and Hollywood Moments.
Yeah, and if you go to the book, it'll tell you the kind of the story of the actual photo.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what I was interested, you know, is what was the story behind the photo?
Right. Well, of course, when you look at a photo, the first thing you wonder is what the fuck was going on there.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, so
because back then it wasn't like digital where you were just clicking. It wasn't just...
No, you're capturing still moments.
No, you had to plan everything.
Right, right, right. Well, no, not necessarily, because...
No, there's candids.
Right.
There's some candids.
You had to be there at the right moment. You had to be prepared, and the camera had to be focused. A guy like Murray had so many years of experience that, A, he had hundreds of rolls of film, two or three cameras, already with lenses. He doesn't have time to change lenses. That's why you had three cameras, right? Mm-hmm. A short lens, you know, a long lens, whatever. You don't have time to fuck around taking a lens off, putting on another camera.
But they didn't have the flashes back then. He had to pull the flashes
no,
out.
No, absolutely, absolutely. But first of all, you have to be in the situation, which is Bob Hope is his golden ticket. So anytime, you know, there's a party going on, he can be there and he gets to meet all these different people and boom, boom, boom. But there was a photo with Ricky Ricardo and Lucille Ball that looks like the one that you took. But I realized it wasn't, you didn't take the photo because it was a different setting. And they were in an auditorium, so to speak, let's say at the Academy Awards. Mm. And it's a pretty tight shot, like from the chest to the top of their mm-hmm. heads. And Ricky Ricardo is looking at Lucille Ball like almost in like making amends, like she looked fucking pissed. She just looked like, go fuck yourself. She's looking this way. And he's got the, you know, the Latino.
Puppy dog.
No. The Latino, I know I fucked you. I know I fucked up, mommy. Please forgive me. And she's having nothing to do with him.
And Lucy was married to a crazy Cuban.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Ricky Ricardo. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh,
yeah, okay. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. He's a crazy Cuban, for sure. For sure. That's another story. I mean, Lucille Ball is a fucking genius. I mean, the first woman to have her own film studio in Hollywood. Film and television studio. Lucille Ball. Amazing woman. So Marilyn Monroe, I'm just curious. How when you met her, how was she? How'd that go? We have 5 minutes.
She was very, very young when you met her.
When I met her, nobody knew her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was Norma Jean.
Nobody knew her name.
Mm-hmm.
I took her to the beach in Hollywood where you were only allowed to use a two-piece bathing suit. There was no such things as bikinis.
Mm-hmm.
You got on a bikini with the beach.
The beach in Hollywood? What beach?
Malibu.
Malibu.
Then you got fired.
Now, was she Marilyn Monroe at that time, or was she Norma Jean?
Well, she had just changed her name.
Ah, okay.
And she had an agent who was 72 years old,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
who was keeping her.
Mm-hmm.
When we talked, because I took her to lunch, and I said, you know, you're living with a guy that's 72 years old. Why are you doing that? You're young and you're beautiful, and you're going to have all kinds of opportunities. And she said, well, you know, he's a very nice man, and he's been very good to me. I said, well, and you should be good to him and be his friend.
Mm-hmm.
But you should keep all the doors open.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a lot of people hitting on you at Fox.
Mm-hmm.
She said, well, I'll try to, but, you know, I don't know if I could do it because he's been so nice to me. I said, well, Marilyn, I wish you all the luck in the world. You know, you're a lovely girl, but you're living with a guy at 72 years old. And she said, you know, I know. There's only one problem. I said, what's the problem? She said, he smells old.
Oh, he's 72.
And I thought I was going to die right there.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, he smells old.
Interesting.
Well, let me tell you, before I came here today.
Yes.
I put cologne on.
Oh, just in case.
Oh, I have this fear of smelling old.
Oh. You feel smelling
I've old? Had it for the last 30 years.
Well, I'm going to tell you something.
There's I don't want to ever smell old.
No, there's a difference between smelling old and feeling and smelling like hope, right? And or smelling like success. Right, yes. You can be old and successful. So there's different types of scents under the old umbrella. You know, I wouldn't call you old. I'd call you vintage. That's what I'd call you.
Yes,
yeah, very. Vintage, old. That's what the fuck is old? I mean, I don't understand. You're 1 minute you're fucking 35 years old, next you're 40, then you're 50. Well, I don't understand what's old. You know, we're all going there, right?
Oh,
vintage
absolutely.
Experience.
And what's
life.
Great is his memory of all these stories.
Dude, it's the guy's 90 years old. He's got this memory. I don't even remember what the fuck I made for breakfast 2 days ago. So, okay, we got 2 minutes really quick. Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., and Frank Sinatra. That
Frank
photo.
Sinatra.
Were you hanging out with him? I mean, was it nice? What was going on there?
I photographed Frank Sinatra in New York.
Mm-hmm.
He had three people as guests in his living room,
mm-hmm.
in his dressing room.
Mm-hmm.
And he had just left Tommy Dorsey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The Tommy Dorsey.
So I was in the Paramount mm-hmm. Theater in the dressing room. You couldn't get there because of the goddamn Bobby Soxers.
Right, right. Those are the fans for
those
are
the girls, yeah.
So I walked up to a cop, showed him my press pass,
mm-hmm.
and I said, is there some way you could get me
up
to the stage door?
Right.
I said, the guy there knows that I'm coming, you know. And he said, I'll tell you something, you son of a bitch. And I said, what? He said, if that guy doesn't know who you are, I am going to kick your ass.
All right, sure, of course.
And I said, okay.
Okay.
So he drags me through this crowd.
Right.
And gets me there and pounds on the door. And this nice old guy opens the door. And he says, yeah, what? He said, this guy's name is Murray Garrett. And he says he said, yeah, we're waiting for him.
Yeah, yeah. So what'd you say? I'll kick your fucking ass now, you asshole.
No, I'm not an ass kicker.
No, okay.
And I just looked at the cop like, are you kidding?
Right.
And then I took the pictures.
1 minute.
And Sinatra says to me, hey, kid. I turn around and I say, yes, sir. He says, can you get me some 8x10s? I said, I'll bring them there tomorrow morning. And he says, you're not shitting me now, are you? And I said, I would never do that.
Right.
The next morning I was there and I delivered
8x10s.
The 8x10s. The next time I saw him was in the dressing room, in the dining room at Metro Goldwyn Mayer. I was talking to a PR person about doing a layout at Metro. He walks out of some curtain that he was behind. And he looks at me and he goes, I said, Frank, you know me from the Paramount Theater in New York? You had three people, some girl who played a zither, something. And he said, oh, my God, thanks again for the 8x10. Are you working out here now? I said, yeah. He said, we're going to do a lot of stuff together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's why I keep saying and marveling.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't sit down and tell you, well, I planned all this stuff.
We would need, listen, Murray, yeah. We would need about 10 hours to go on and on and on. But luckily, the most amazing thing about the situation is that there are two really good books. Hollywood Candid is one of his books, and then Hollywood Moments. You can get these on Amazon. I'm not sure if they're original prints. No, some of them are used or whatever, right?
They're all used books.
Yeah.
I don't make any money whether you buy them or don't buy them.
Right. But you can get it. You can see all the photos.
See his work.
You can kind of see the historical content of what he did. We got to wrap up the show, Murray. There is, I believe there's a website, murraygarrett.com. Yep. So it's murraygarrett.com. That's Murray Garrett's website. And please check it out. Your birthday is going to be April, what's the
27th.
Date? 27th. We're going to do something. I got to get you a cake or something. April 27th. Rick, I'm going to have you on the show soon to talk about your exploits in the reality TV world and producing and acting and all that stuff. And no so problem.
Can I come with him to help him out?
Sure. You're coming with us. That wraps up the show. Make sure you come back to weplayradio.com. Subscribe to the show, Nestorius Public Radio, through the website or through iTunes. Subscribe, leave a review, please, and like our Facebook page, Nestorius Public Radio. We out.
Shit, so y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.